This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. Hello everyone, Mike here. Very quickly, just popping in at the top to say thank you for listening. We missed a couple weeks there, which I apologise for. It was lockdown here in Melbourne, and I've also, it's just been a little tricky recording stuff now that I'm just temporarily living with my parents, but we should be all good to go from here, so I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Zach Miller is my guest. He is hilarious as always, and here's what I wanted to say. The YouTube channel for Harry Potter and the Boys is now up to date. Go and subscribe. There is a link in the description. Please subscribe. Even if you don't plan on watching the videos, it'd be really awesome if you just hit the subscribe button if you've got a YouTube account. Because if we can get 100 subscribers, it just helps us. It helps it come up in the YouTube algorithm and stuff like that. So please hit subscribe. Check out my other podcast, 20th Century Boy. If you like this podcast, support me on Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. You can do it for as little as a dollar a month. Very easy. But now, without further ado, here's this week's episode where we are slowly getting to the end of this book. Enjoy. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Aloha Moras, everybody. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a fan fiction podcast by me, Radio Mike. Zach Miller joins me across the internet via Zoom. Thank you so much, Zach. I appreciate it.
Mikey, always a pleasure to be here. Stoked to be back on HP and the B. We're in lockdown in Melbourne, so we've had to go virtual for this one. But I think we're going to be able to make it work. The chemistry's still there.
I have done one lockdown episode in the past, which was with Tim McDonald, and it was fine.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes with this. So don't let us down.
I was going to say, I mean, T-Mac, he's a star. So to go up against someone like that is going to be tough, but I will just try and do my best.
I think you'll be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Take a bit of liquid luck on the way in.
get a bit of Felix Felicis in you.
Exactly. Well, fortunately, because we're in lockdown in Melbourne, what's the best thing you can do? Rewatch Harry Potter's 1-8 on a streaming service, Binge, I believe. You can plug it, just get the plug in there. If they want to do any sponsor work, please hit me up. Which has been great because you can rewatch the films going into this. Just gives me a better eye for my favorite characters and people that I didn't realize how much I goddamn loved. And I think I can figure out exactly why I like particular films more than others as well, having rewatched them too.
That's interesting. Talk us through that.
Well, number one, I realized that like number six, which I think on a previous podcast I protested as my favorite, and I see in memes, they're like, Azkaban's the best one. I'm like, I get that. It's great. And Deathly Hallows Part One is the worst one. I'm like, whatever. And then they're like, number six is the most boring. Strongly disagree. Number six is so freaking funny. Like, I'm in tears watching Slughorn at pulling off his shit. Like, his lines when he's reading the obituary to Aragog when he's dead. They're like, goodbye, yeah. Aragog, king of the arachnids. Your body will decay. This lingers on.
There's a lot of kind of like forgotten scenes in that. Like, I don't really remember much of the part where Harry takes the Felix Felicis and goes to Hagrid's and goes to Aragog's funeral as well.
Yeah, no,
I should rewatch it.
You should. It's a great sequence. Not only that, like Harry easily the funniest Radcliffe moments when he takes the Felix Felicis. Right. Felix Felicis, is that meant to be like alcohol? Is that J.K. Rowling being like, oh, this is like having a few scotches and you feel invincible, you're on top of the world. Everything goes your way. I just got a great vibe about going to Hagrid's, you know, like it's...
I think it is. No, I think, I don't think it's alcohol. I think it is like magic luck, but a lot of people ask, why wouldn't everyone be taking it all the time? To which the in-universe explanation is, one, it's very difficult to brew, and two, it's toxic in high quantities.
Right.
So it is, I guess it is in some ways like a drug of the muggle world.
I was going to say, yeah.
Apparently if you're a teacher, you can give it out to students if they make a good love potion.
Right, he's making the death potion, isn't it? Like, it's got to be like... Far out. No, yeah, it's a whack move. And Ron's hilarious as well, and the chick who... falls in love with him, or even like the you know, it broaches
Lavender.
It broaches on consent, like some bird's brewing up a love potion for Harry, accidentally gives it to Ron. Mm. There's that guy filling up Hermione. There's a lot going on that sort of gets swept
Cormac
under.
McLaggen.
The big fella. He loves it. So you got to get. He's cancelled though. I assume he died in the Battle of Hogwarts.
Yeah, you'd hope so because of what he did. Yeah. Yeah.
That behavior, inappropriate. Barty Crouch Senior also a favorite, and he died too soon. Because that actor is
in Goblet of Fire.
In Goblet of Fire, my God! Like, there's one scene you may want to put it into the video, but I don't know if you remember when they're in the tent, getting ready to face the dragons for the first time, and they're pulling them out of the sack.
I know exactly what you're about to say. Can I say it? Is it? Oh, yeah, you go,
There's two things. You can have the second one. The first one is he walks in and he notices Hermione's there. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but he does a flawless triple take. He goes, one, two, bang, three. What's that?
For video viewers, Zach did a really great rendition of that. But yes,
you'll have to clip it in. This is an audio format. But when Harry is going to pull out his dragon and the line, he's like, oh, God, what's the name of that dragon? I forget.
Harry's is the Norwegian Ridgeback.
Yeah.
No, wait. No.
Oh, my God, the comment section. Mikey.
The podcast is over. It's the Hungarian Horntail.
Hungarian Horntail. And Harry, like, whispers it to himself, and then Barty Crouch Sr. is like, what's that, boy? There's those kind of lines.
No, so I thought where you were going with that was my favorite part of that whole movie and possibly the entire franchise is when he pulls out the Chinese fireball and he goes the Chinese fireball. Ooh.
He is undefeated. He might be my favorite. He may be my favorite, but.
Hey, can I circle back, sorry, to the liquid luck thing?
I cut you off there, by the
way. No, that's okay. When Slughorn gives, obviously, Harry the liquid luck, and, like, imagine that at real school, like, one of your teachers is like, all right, whoever can solve this equation, I'll chuck you a pinger.
Crack cocaine. You will feel on top of the world. You'll achieve all your dreams. Yeah.
Straight from Mr. Collins over in chemistry. He's brewed it up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and that, Slughorn as well. Just his, like, facial expressions, my God. It gets me every time. So I think that, like, watching it through that lens, absolutely loved it. I mean, the final, like, thing of note one thing that kind of gets swept under the rug a little bit as well is Professor Flitwick's glow-up from 2 to 3. Is just unbelievable. The man, I don't know whether he's moisturizing or just taking, he's got like a bit of a morning routine going, but
he might be taking liquid luck.
I think he did. Yeah. But underrated character. There's some great ones there. So absolutely loving it, mate. I'm right into the Harry Potter space. I've started to read the books.
Right.
Because so cool. I'm so like, I'm sure as many of the listeners, because they're listening to this show, get sucked into the lore of Harry Potter. And I've been stuck watching all those videos on YouTube, and they're like, why didn't Albus Dumbledore use what's the thing where it can read your mind? Legitimacy.
A lot of that stuff. Occlumency.
Whatever, guys. What did Dumbledore do over the summer when school was out? You know, all that shit, like that. Yeah. Just extra shit that
Harry Potter theory?
Like, yeah, Harry Potter theory, Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's a great channel.
Love the channels, but it's always like a 6-minute like backstory of like Albus Dumbledore was the headmaster at the time when Harry went to school. And we know that Harry was, you know, the chosen one in this time.
Yeah, they're so like that.
Oh my God, because they're trying to hit that 10-minute mark, get that YouTube cash. I understand.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ, there's like, it's a 30-second answer.
Yeah, why was Neville so good at herbology? Neville Longbottom was a Gryffindor in Harry Potter's year level, and throughout the years he showed a certain attestment to herbology. But why was he good at herbology? Well, his parents, Frank Longbottom and Alice Longbottom...
Who joined the Order of like the Phoenix, which was started by Albus Dumbledore, who was the headmaster. Yeah. And it's like, geez, all right, mate. Yeah. Anyway, geez, have we deviated or what? Back to apologies to the listeners, and I'll let you take control, mate. But I had to get that out. Absolutely.
No, I thought that was great. I love that. I love that chat. But what I actually wanted, totally fine if the answer is no. Have you listened to many more of the? Because your last ep was chapter 13, I think. Wow. From what I checked.
Time flies.
And then your first one was chapter 6, I believe, or something in that area. Do you know where we're at with the story?
Fortunately, yeah. I mean, anytime you come into Harry Potter and the Boys, HB and the Bee, you can't slip away too far. So I have caught up in the last few episodes just to sort of get an idea of where we're at. And can I say...
It's like Game of Thrones. You can't miss an episode. Yeah.
So I think from... I did pairing Garlep and Jackie's episode.
Great.
Which were fantastic. They're awesome. They were funny as hell. But... I mean, this author's really just dragging it out now, hey? Whole chapter based on what just filler? Just literally a filler chapter?
The chapter with no subject to fill some pages?
Yes, yes. And Mike Rocks Cox 69 and everything. Like, it's been fantastic to sort of get an idea of where the mind was at age 13. So I'm curious, like, are we coming to a crescendo now? Because I know that Mr. Charger, who is obviously a teacher of yours back in the day, who you had some kind of issue with, he's got to be really
wrote a whole book about him.
you had a lot to get off your chest, Mikey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I here's what I'll say, and I'll just for the listeners' benefit, your last chapter was chapter 13, The Really Weird Warning. Now, do you remember what the warning was? Because I don't remember, but I know it was really weird.
No, what I would definitely remember is that it was weird, Mike. Okay. Do I remember specifically? I apologize. No, I do not.
You'll have to go back and listen to that one for the Zach trilogy. And then Welcome to Hogwarts was your first one, which is when
that was a great one.
Great. So look, I'll say this. I believe there are 5 or 4 chapters left of this book, of which this is one. So we are, it feels like we are very much in the last act. And I feel like the rest of the book basically happens all on the same day. Like, I think this is like last kind of bit of the book now.
Yeah.
Before we get into the FF, I did want you to like listen to, you said you listened to Jackie's ep. Jackie was great on the last ep. And I did realize, obviously, the last chapter that Jackie read was an email that Mr. Charger sent to Boris Mailman with a lot of just, derailing moments and detours within the email.
I think the way that you put it was like a Virginia Woolf, was it? Someone who was just
Mrs. Dalloway, stream of consciousness.
Stream of consciousness, exactly. Yeah, no, it was brilliant.
Well, I went away, and I think last time you were on, we talked about like what kind of stuff I was into when I was in Year 7 writing this, and definitely a lot of Family Guy, and there was a previous moment of a scene in this book that was almost shot for shot taken from a Family Guy moment that I talked about in an episode. I did do some thinking, and I do want you, I want to play some grabs of some moments from Family Guy for you, because this is another episode of Family Guy called Road to Europe, which came out in 2002. Just take a listen to this, see if it sounds familiar.
Dear stupid dog, I've gone to live with the children on Jolly Farm. Goodbye forever, Stewie. P.S. I never got a chance to return that sweater Lois gave me for Christmas. I left the receipt on top of my bureau. I'm probably over the 30-day return limit, but I'm sure if you make a fuss, they'll at least give you a store credit or something. It's actually not a horrible sweater. It's just I can't imagine when I would ever wear it, you know?
And just for the listeners' reference, here's what Jackie read from the book last week.
You remember that sweater you got me for Christmas? Okay, so I arranged for Susan, your assistant, to pick that up and take that back from your place so you can return it. I don't want to offend you or anything like that. It's not a bad sweater. It's just that, well, I can't imagine me ever wearing it. You know, the colors just don't match my eyes.
Okay. And that's actually not it, Zach. Take a listen to this one.
Oh, and I also left a button on the bureau. I'm not sure what it goes to, but I can never bring myself to throw a button away. I know as soon as I do, I'll find the garment it goes to. And
here's what Jackie said.
P.S. By the way, I was cleaning out my room the other day and I found this button from a shirt and, well, I was going to throw it out, but you see, whenever I throw out a button, 10 minutes later, I find the clothes, it's come off, and then I'm just like, ugh, why did I throw out that button? And so, well, I decided not to throw out the button, which is still sitting on my bedside table.
So, okay. As you can see, the strategy of this author is that I watched an episode of Family Guy and then wrote it down but changed some of the words.
Found my favourite gag. Now, I think, look, I don't think Seth MacFarlane's got anything to worry about there. I think there's complete creative discretion by the author there. It seems like you've both been inspired by the same thought. Can't see where the parallels have been drawn. No, that's hilarious. And I think a lot of the gags from this book, right, if I'm not mistaken, do draw back to ties to Family Guy and Futurama, right? It seems to be like a strong thing.
Wait a minute. Actually, could it have been from the sweater? Did that sweater have buttons?
Could that button have been from the sweater?
Do sweaters have buttons?
No. And a lot of great authors, you know, they start out by, sometimes imitating or paying homage to their inspiration. So that's what I'd say. That's what I'd say you're doing here, mate. I wouldn't say plagiarism at all, despite the fact that it's almost verbatim.
Well, if Seth MacFarlane does, you know, try to accuse me of plagiarizing his work, I mean, all we do is play him an episode of The Simpsons and say, well, look at this.
This seems...
And then we play him an episode of American Dad and go, you did it to yourself. You made the same show twice and just changed some of the names.
And then you span it off into the Cleveland show. He's got a formula.
If we're talking plagiarism, MacFarlane doesn't have a leg to stand on. But yes, I'll link that full Family Guy scene in the description of this podcast because it doesn't end there. There are more, like it does feel like a lot of the PS stuff I literally just ripped off from that. But Zach, I'm going to send you a PDF now.
Great.
And this is the next chapter of the book, just an isolated PDF of this chapter. You are the second person ever alongside Tim McDonald to actually get a tangible version of the book in their possession. I don't like the book being out of my possession. There's too much risk. Okay. I don't want people leaking the ending. So this is just an isolated version of the chapter. I've sent it now. You did say this might be a handbrake if it doesn't send, but has it sent?
It's sent, and now I am airdropping it to my Mac. And I'm opening it just to take everyone through. Great. Chapter 26 is here. I won't read the title just yet. That is, of course, one of the great reveals of each episode. But yes. I will say that I'll be circulating this in some kind of 90s sort of thrift, you know, when people used to sell burnt CDs on the corner. I'll just be selling chapter 26. But, you know, hey, some people are really into it.
Can you imagine if I, turned this book... I just published one copy of this book and made it look like an actual Harry Potter book and just put it in an op shop. And someone bought it and was just like, what is this? Like, what have I...
Someone who had heard amazing things about Harry Potter, hadn't seen the movie, hadn't read the books. It was just like...
Hadn't read the books, yeah.
What the fuck is everyone on about? This is... It's quite meta.
You're like... It's not really great writing. I mean, sure, you can make comparisons to Virginia Woolf's Mrs. Dalloway, but it's not at that level.
Yeah, wow, the movie's really cleaned it up, I gotta say.
All right, well, let's get into it. You said, chapter 26, you've got it there. Let's dive in, man. And as always, we start by reading the name of the chapter.
Chapter
Miller, take it away.
Chapter 26, A Journey with Derek.
Wow.
Okay, so that's big. So we know we're starting a journey here. Yes. Potentially ending it.
Yeah, well, you assume in this chapter alone the whole journey takes place. But we have left off. Basically, where we've left off is the boys found this email from Mr. Charger, and most of that email was nonsense, except for the fact that they need to, that Mr. Charger is meeting Boris Mailman in the SR, which we don't know what that is, on the 10th of June. So the boys are a little bit confused about what they've just read.
Take it away. Quite an incriminating email, not only for their plotting, but also what they were looking for as well. And if anyone has, have you had anyone email in their favorite websites, Mike, to this point? I think you did
sexy websites sexy or just websites?
Websites in general, but I think sexy was what you were requesting for purely academic purposes.
We did have a few sexy websites sent in. They have, as far as I'm aware, they're blocked off my Wi-Fi now. I did have to go in and contact the administrators of the websites to get them blocked. Yep. And they told me you can just do it from your own computer. So it was a bit of a waste of time. But yeah, we did get there.
I thought it was blocked because you're on your parents' IP address again and they've got all the blockers on. All right, without further ado, A Journey with Derek. What the fuckity shittity fuck is SR? Strog open.
No chapter really has gotten the action started like that. Like, this is the first chapter where we know it's serious because, yeah. And a very year seven kind of thing to say, what the
fuckity shittity fuck is SR, asked Sam. And it's a place, said Rob.
Can I say, there does seem to be a growing number of school-aged children listening to this podcast, which one I think is great, you know, great to have a wider audience. Don't say fuckity shittity fuck, guys.
No,
the language warning.
Yeah. Even if you were trying to be cool, fuckity shittity fuck is not a great way to express any sort of vitriol or anger. Not the place for it. Definitely not on the school ground.
I love that response from Rob. Just, it's a place. Like, it's a place, yes, mate, we couldn't grapple that already.
It's a place in it. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's a place, said Rob. Wow, said Luke. Really, Rob? Do you really think it's a place? Wow, thank you for this amazing insight. I sense sarcasm.
A lot of the characters do have very snarky responses to when the obvious is stated, which I like.
Yeah, there's a healthy amount of mirth in this book, especially for someone who was 13 when they wrote it. Very aggressive. We better get out of here, said Tom. Just for context, where are they right now?
I think they're just in a hallway when they've stumbled across this email.
Great. This email that was printed out. Paper trail.
The printed electronic email, as Mr. Charger called it.
Yeah. The boys went...
Now, the funny part of that, kids who don't know, is that the E in email stands for electronic. There's a little factoid for you. It's like saying ATM machine, right?
Yeah,
which is it's like that.
There's a building in Melbourne called the Institute of IT Technology, and it's on St Kilda Road. Institute of Information Technology, same sort of theme. Absolutely.
Pin number.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that descending down the stairs? There's a name for that. Like it's when you say something for anyway. That's for another podcast.
Is it tautology or something like that?
It's a tautology. Look at you, mate. You must have been all right at English in BCE. Yeah.
That's what a 43 in English gets you in year
12.
That's
real nice. That'll get you in the back of the age. That's what that'll get you. Well done. The boys went back to the Gryffindor common room. It was the 10th of June, the day that.
Now, can I just stop it there? Sorry. It says, so Tom says we better get out of here. Then they go back to the Gryffindor common room. And then it says it was the 10th of June. So is that saying that time has passed now? Or is it that they found the email on the day that they were going, that Mr. Charger said?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
I'm confused. And is the 10th of June it's a significant day in this plotline.
Right? Yeah, that is the day that Mr. Charger is going to the SR. Yeah, all of this is supposed to happen.
Right, so they're going to have to figure out what the SR is.
Yeah.
It's the dad. Oh, and as per usual, we've broken it down. And then following this, the book will clearly elucidate what is meant to happen. It was the 10th of June, the day that Mr. Charger had mentioned in his electronic email that the boys had found in the last chapter. Great. Glad that we had the double explainer. As per usual.
And sorry to this. Sorry to stop again, Zach. But
it's all right. Like, we're two paragraphs in.
the book, this book, for whatever reason, this book actually does suit itself to a week-by-week reading. Like, because, like... The author treats each chapter almost as if you need a little bit of a refresh from last week, right? So it's like... You know, it's like when you're watching a TV show and there's a recap at the start, except when you're reading a book, not often would you finish a chapter and then in the next chapter need to be reminded of what happened in the last chapter.
Like, well, on the last episode of Dragon Ball Z, that's what we kind of need at the top of every show.
But I wouldn't actually mind that, because sometimes I read a book, I get halfway, and then I put it down for like 3 months. And when I pick it up, I can't really remember where I was at. So it would actually be good if every author at the top of every chapter just puts in the last chapter, this happened. So you can sort of remember where you're at.
Even dot points. I think that would be a good... Would be great. Yeah. And if you couldn't be bothered reading the whole book, you just go chapter by chapter, hit the dot points, get the basic plot, then, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can write a pretty good report. All right. So Michael, Luke, Lockie, Sam, and Tom. And now all of these names I'm allowed to say, because from memory, some of them had to be changed. They've all been changed, right?
No. Well, like, none of them really had to be changed. The reason I changed some of them was because I assumed all of them were named after boys from primary school that wrote the original one outside the canteen with me. But I just figured that a lot of those guys, who some I still see around, like, they're all kind of, like, corporate people who work proper jobs now. And I just didn't think they wanted any association with this. So I just, without asking for their benefit, I changed their names.
I can see that. Someone walking into Deloitte and there's another guy looking at, hey, listen, you wrote this?
Yeah.
All right. Michael, Luke, Lockie, Sam, and Tom were sitting by the fire in the Gryffindor common room. Well, are you coming? Rob said. He had just walked out from the boys' dormitory and was now holding his wand.
He's ready for business, I think.
He is. He's not screwing around. It actually kind of looked cool, except for the fact that he was an 11-year-old. And let's be honest, an 11-year-old kid holding a wand, even in a magic world, is pretty lame. You would just think he was an idiot. once again, the author absolutely railing the boys. Probably not use of word there, actually. Let me just rephrase that.
Not railing. It is kind of funny, though, because this kind of in Philosopher's Stone, because this, it seems like we're echoing the end of the Philosopher's Stone book/movie, right? Mm. Where they're going on this thing at the end. And, like, I think it's funny because Harry thinks he can take on this dark wizard at the end, but I'm pretty sure in the movie of Philosopher's Stone, Harry doesn't ever use any spells, except for, like, when he's trying to use Wingardium Leviosa, but there's actually no point in the movie where he actually casts a spell. It's always Hermione or Ron who do it.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I mean, and as a book virgin, I had no idea that there were, like, 7 tasks as well, and there was so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much dense, of course. Like, so, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. He doesn't do anything. All he does is grab Quirrell's face, basically. And I would have thought, like, that's pretty scarring for an 11-year-old. I don't know if we've broken this down, but he literally murders a guy. And no, like, there's no... Like, it was his teacher. He murders him. Yeah. And, like, Harry is fully aware...
It was self-defense.
Yeah, it was, but, like, Harry was fully aware that if he touches Quirrell, he will turn to stone, and he's like, give me your face. And
imagine like, just knowing, like, imagine if you really like, you were a student who really liked Professor Quirrell, thought he was a really good teacher, right? And you're like, oh, why isn't Professor Quirrell coming back? Oh, fucking one of the students murdered him in the secret chamber under the school where they were storing a stone that gives you immortal life. That's what I had to deal with at school today, Mum.
Oh my God. Yeah, and then Dumbledore just wakes Harry up and he's like, yeah, no, it's all good. Cruel said.
We've spoken to the police. They're going to let this one slide with a warning. Look, you should have called an adult.
Ideally, as long as you don't murder any more teachers, we will be fine. And then every book, so another teacher just gets, like, if not killed, like, obliterated or...
Yeah.
I can't remember what adult. I guess Umbridge gets taken away by some centaurs. No idea how she gets out of that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because, like, do you think Dumbledore ever sat down with Harry and just went, look, Harry, you know, we've had the incident with the Philosopher's Stone. We've had the incident with the Chamber of Secrets. Just so you know, you just need to be a student. If there's any trouble, call one of the teachers. We'll handle it. You really don't need to be going and solving all the
just
problems
like a
by yourself.
Stern talking, like, I understand that, you know, that there's a tie between you and Voldemort and he's after you. Let the adults handle it. You're an 11-year-old boy. Yep. And even though you may think it's cool that you're holding a wand, it's pretty lame and I think you're an idiot.
Like, just so you know, I'm Dumbledore. I'm one of the most powerful wizards in the world. Professor McGonagall, she's very capable. Professor Flitwick, like, I hire all my staff. They're very capable wizards. Even Professor Sprout can do some weird magic nettle stuff.
Got some shrubs. Like, yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
I've got this wand. I haven't really explained it much, but it is literally the most powerful wand in the world.
Yeah, that'll come into, in the seventh book, that'll come into more importance. But for now, just stick to your classes. Yeah. Try to get along with Professor Snape. He really does care
about you. He likes you. He likes you a lot.
Harry, do something for him.
Always. I promise you, I have taken on dark wizards before. Again, you won't know much context about this guy, but he was probably more powerful than Voldemort in some circles they think he is. Anyway, I took him down, not trying to brag, just saying, I've got this.
Yeah. So, you know, if there's a Philosopher's Stone 2.0, come to my office if you hear about it.
Yep.
I'll look after it.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that would have been a much shorter series, eh? All right. And back to the novel. Where? Rob ignored him. Both Rob and Michael were continuing to fight, and Rob had just completely ignored him for the last few weeks. Their link as friends had completely been broken.
That's been a shame.
That has been a chance. It's been tough to watch, but, you know, character development. It's great. Where? Asked Luke, repeating what Michael had said while Sam shrugged his shoulders repeatedly and made a silly face. Parentheses, for the lols, because he wanted to break the tension in the room. Further parentheses, no one laughed. Tom smiled a bit about it, but kept looking at Sam to be like, stop, because the other guys are actually angry at each other and they're not going to laugh because they're taking everything so seriously. But in another situation, this would probably be funny.
So Sam is basically just like, Luke's gone where? And then it seems like Sam, you know, he's just going, the video viewers were doing it, but he's just...
We're shrugging, silly face as well, paramount.
And I guess people are seeing this, but they're not responding to it. So Sam just keeps doing it. And then Tom's going,
you give me the giggles, bro.
This is not the time for giggling.
This is inappropriate. We've got to figure out the SR. We're a peanut gallery. Let's just focus in. Okay. Rob looked around the room to check if there were other students around. He didn't want to speak about this for the other students to hear about it, as he didn't want to endanger anybody. Two words.
Rob has seemed like the most mature of the boys throughout the book. Like, he does seem to be, you know, the most mature.
To SR, you idiots. If you haven't noticed, for the last 5 weeks, I've been looking for it and I've found it, said Rob.
Oh.
Well, that's a bit of a bombshell. What the fuck? said Luke.
Which is exactly what you do think, because, you know, we've been with these characters for the past 5 weeks, literally, and we've been with Rob, and it turns out off camera the author didn't think to tell us that the whole time Rob was looking for the SR.
Yeah, That is, I mean, that I literally thought the line that Luke just said, I was like, oh, that's a bombshell. He knows where it is. He knows what it is. That's insane. It's like when the, like, Dumbledore was just hunting Horcruxes. It's like, I'd love to see it. Show me that.
Yeah.
It was definitely a bombshell, and Luke was right. Oh, good affirmation. They had all been doing exams and all the other school stuff they were doing for the last 5 weeks. So how did Rob have all this time to find whatever the SR was? Oh, well.
You know that the episode of The Simpsons where it's the Lord of the Flies parody and all the kids get trapped on the island and have the Lord of the Flies kind of thing. And then at the end, the narrator comes on. He's like, and the children continued to live in harmony until one day they were rescued by, let's say, Mo. It's just like that. That's basically what this is. It's like, how did Rob have time? Oh, well.
Well, you know,
just accept it.
He put his mind to it, and here we are. Magic.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of the answers for many of the questions people have about the books.
Yeah.
Where is it? Asked Michael. Rob ignored him again. It was pretty immature, to be honest, just pretending that Michael didn't exist. But to be honest, this is the level of maturity you would expect from an 11-year-old.
Okay. And I was just saying Rob was one of the most mature people in the book, but yeah.
No, he's happy to know where it is and will not share. Where is it? Asked Luke cumbersomely. Now, what?
Is that a word?
Is it? I mean, I'm sure it is, but should I look at like cumbersomely? What does
cumbersome even mean?
I feel like I should know that. Like it's a regular enough word. Cumbersomely. Oh no, did you mean? Yep, here we go. Difficult to handle because of weight or bulk. Yeah, cumbersome. Like something's heavy.
So he's like, where is it?
Like if you're over encumbered, I only know this from Skyrim, but if you're over encumbered, you're carrying too much stuff and you're going to need to drop off some Draga swords or whatever you've accumulated. So he asked cumbersomely. So maybe he asked with a heavy heart, where is it? Asked Luke.
I think that is what the author would have meant for sure. He didn't just see a big word and turn it into an adverb or something.
I wouldn't put it past you, mate. I also like how you refer to him as the author, as if you didn't write every single word.
Well, you know, I'm a different person to who I was in year seven, which is why sometimes there's things that are inappropriate in this book. I wouldn't say them now.
You've got to separate yourself just for legal reasons.
Yeah.
Follow me, Rob said. This is becoming suspicious. that's not in the book. That's just my sort of
Yes.
Follow me.
And surprisingly, the next line in the book isn't, it was beginning to be suspicious, which it usually would be.
It usually would be, yeah. A surprise for us. They all left the room. Sam was still doing the thing where he would just repeatedly shrug his shoulders while making an idiotic face.
So he's
walking out, just like constantly shrugging. No one's even looking at him anymore. He's just at the back of the pack.
He can't stop doing it now because he just wants to be like, he wants someone to acknowledge it.
He wants someone to acknowledge how good the gag is, and it's not landing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it's Sammy boy.
Yeah.
And don't let Derek see us. That is the most important thing. All right.
This is a bit suspicious.
He's taking a bit of a character turn here.
But I wouldn't say Rob is villainous or has shown any signs of being a villain throughout the book. So, you know, who knows? This could go either way.
But, you know, I would say Quirrell shows no signs of being villainous. He's quite well, quite manipulative in his position. Troll! Just as Rob said that thing about Derek, the boys exited the Gryffindor common room. And Sam noticed that Derek was walking just nearby. Sam called out to him, Derek, said Sam, Derek, over here, mate.
Don't, whatever you do, don't push this button. So Sam must be in this panic because he's like, oh no, like the guys have not liked the shrugging joke. I need a break the tension. Oh, Derek, get over here, mate. Get Derek, over here. The boys.
D-train.
Yeah.
All the boys literally looked at each other like, "TF Sam." We'd literally just said that Derek not seeing us was the most important thing. What the fuck? I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, they could not have made that clearer. Derek nonetheless walked over to the boys after Sam's warm invitation. Hi.
Does that even make sense? Does that make sense? Nonetheless? Derek nonetheless walked over.
Well, because there's nothing to dispute. I guess disputing the idea that they were all like, what the fuck, dude? Like, Sam, imagine the scenario where, like, we're walking down the street and we see our friend, our mutual friend, Josh Pering. And I'm like, Josh, come over here. And you're like, what the fuck, man? Don't bring him over. And he nonetheless, that's discouraging, but I will come over.
Yeah. Despite this, he walked over, I think, is what the author's trying to say sort of there.
Do the swear words get bleeped? I'm conscious that I've dropped a couple of F-bombs. They are in the script or in the narrative, by the way. But of course, I'd hate to... blow out the all. I don't know if you've got like a limit on how many you can have without being an explicit podcast.
No, all good.
Beautiful.
All good.
Feel free to cut that out. That felt a bit off track.
That's okay. I'm gonna, you know what? Nonetheless, I'm gonna leave it in.
Okay, Derek, nonetheless, walked over to the boys after Sam's warm invitation. Hi, he said. I'm supposed to meet Mr. Charger in a place called the SR. He said that there will be puppies and lollies and definitely no murder or killing at all. Do you know where it is?
So how does that, you know, you're at school and one of your teachers pulls you aside and says, hey, do you want to meet me in the the science lab after school? Lollies, you know, party, couple other students coming. No murder. Zero murder at all.
Just in case you're wondering, nothing nefarious. No rituals, satanic rituals out the door.
Yeah.
Just puppies and lollies. If you're interested, come down.
And wouldn't you be like, well, I wouldn't have thought there was murder, but now that you've specifically said that there'll be no murder, now I'm kind of suspicious. Oh, no, there's definitely no murder.
No, well, mate, I literally said no murder. What don't you get about that?
But I walk through most of my life assuming there'll be no murder. So when you specifically say that there's no murder, it kind of sounds like there will be murder.
Mate, I never assume. It makes an ass of you and me. So I just wanted to outline. Derek is going to meet Mr. Charger in the SR, and Mr. Charger has promised there will be no murder, just puppies and lollies, which of course sounds like a bit of a white van type situation as well, a bit dodgy.
And throughout the book as well, Zach, it does feel like Mr. Charger, and like, for lack of a better word, I don't believe it's going in this direction, but like, he is kind of grooming Derek, not in that, you know, for lack of a better word, he's kind of like, he needs Derek, it seems, to complete some kind of thing that he's doing. So he's trying to get him on his side
Yes. And in a similar vein to what Dumbledore did to Harry. As you know what I mean? I wouldn't say grooming, but like, as Snape puts it, like, you're raising him like a pig for slaughter. Like, you're kind of putting him in the position to be killed and whatever. He's this like intricate chess player moving the pieces. Though I don't see a lot of parallels between Mr. Charger and Albus.
Albus Wulfric, Percival Brian Dumbledore, I believe.
Brian Dumbledore. That line in...
because Brian is such a...
He hits
it's the only normal name.
It's the only normal name, and he hits it so well in Order of the Phoenix when he's in the Ministry for Magic. Yeah, called where Harry's getting...
The Tribunal,
Yeah, that room's called like the Room of Mysteries or whatever. I don't know.
Department of Mysteries.
Yeah. Oh, Brian.
I do on Mr. Charger though. going back to that, what we talked about at the start, the Stewie Griffin comparisons, I do get a bit of a Stewie Griffin vibe from Mr. Charger, just in the way he conducts himself. Not that he's not a baby, obviously, but he's like, he almost feels like a grown-up Stewie Griffin kind of.
Like endearing, villainous character.
Yeah.
That maybe we've been reading him wrong. Like if we did a Stewie Griffin impression while reading Charger's lines, it might even see the parallels more. Not that I can do a good Stewie. Yeah. But, that'd be great. But,
I'd have to say, like, based on the fact that I was watching so much Family Guy, it kind of makes sense that I was channeling that into the writing. Because Stewie is, I think Stewie's such a great fictional character.
He's so funny. He definitely, as a kid, especially watching that show, like, such a game changer. Like, everything he did was hilarious because you'd never seen a baby in that context. We'll save this for the Family Guy pod for sure. All right. I could go on. Okay, maybe we were wrong about seriously though, guys, Puppies and Lollies and definitely no murder or killing at all actually sounds pretty good. Maybe we were wrong about Mr. Charger, said Sam.
Sam is clearly the idiot of the group.
How good is this? Puppies, Lollies. Yeah.
And I reckon we were wrong about him. He seems like really great.
Not only that, but he guaranteed no murder or killing at all. Like, what a guy.
Yeah. Harry Potter's never done that. Harry Potter has never done that.
If anything, a lot of people around Harry Potter have been killed or murdered.
I say we stick with this Charger fellow. He sounds like he's worth our while.
Everybody at Hogwarts rolled their eyes. Everybody, wow.
The whole school rolled their eyes.
McGonagall in the corner, Sam.
Bloody Sam.
Sam looked at the camera and winked it to the audience. and a song called That's Classic Sam started playing and the audience laughed.
So this is the first time, because we've broken the fourth wall, but this is the first time that apparently Harry Potter and the Boys is a sitcom filmed in front of a live audience, and now Sam has broken the fourth wall of the sitcom within Hogwarts, within the book.
Mike, we have not only broken the fourth wall, it has been obliterated. I don't know if there's any walls left at this point in the narrative. That's classic Sam, in quotations, as if a song we're meant to know. Would you happen to know what That's Classic Sam goes like? Could we cut that in?
Something does come to mind here. It's another Family Guy thing. There's you know Quagmire. I think this is
in Family Guy. Quagmire.
Yeah. You know how Quagmire says something really horny and then it just goes, who else but Quagmire? He's Quagmire. I think this is literally just me copy and pasting that. That's classic Sam.
Yeah. Thanks to the audience too. He's got a bit of charisma, which we like to say.
Guys, just go and watch season 3 of Family Guy, and it's basically just this book.
I was going to say, if you have any questions about the context or gags in Harry Potter and the Boys, all your answers will be promptly responded to. Everybody was very confused, but Rob continued to lead them through the school carefully to try to find the SR. It was probably after midnight now, and the hallways were very quiet and scary at Hogwarts. Derek, however, was talking a lot.
So Derek just always seems to just not... So similar to Sam, very similar character to Sam, just doesn't seem to quite understand any situation. So it's like, we're trying to be quiet. You know, we're out. We've snuck out late at night. We're going to meet this dark wizard. We should be quiet. Derek's just talking his mouth off.
Yeah, no, he doesn't get the gravity or the context of the situation at all. And maybe that's, his strength. As you can see past that, I guess we'll find out. Derek, however, was talking a lot. Mr. Charger says, I have the perfect voice range for my age and I will make a great baritone one day, he said. Okay, firstly, the impact of half scholarship Mike here is on full display. What kid is writing about having a perfect voice range and a great baritone?
Seriously, this was like when I was in the choir at school, like this kind of shit was like, it was always because we were boy sopranos. So we'd sing soprano as boys when we were like 11 and 12, right? Which is like a female voice. And then everyone, it was always like, oh, where do you reckon your voice is going to settle? Do you reckon you're going to be a tenor or a bass or a baritone? Like, who knows? And then there was this one guy who was like a year 12 who reckoned he could predict where every boy's voice was going to settle. And we were like, what?
How does he do it?
And that was just like, you know, this is my life. This is how like crazy my life was, that like the most exciting thing was like, oh, I wonder where my voice is going to settle. It might be a baritone.
Wonder what octave is going to be sort of my my wheelhouse.
My go-to.
I'm a real C major.
Might get the Freddie Mercury, the triple octave.
You've got two octaves that you dominate, I assume.
Yeah, I actually have a pretty good vocal range. Not to brag.
Not to brag.
I do think I have quite a wide vocal range.
It's evident on your channel.
That's another podcast.
Well, one of my favorite things is seeing a new parody track pop up on the at Radio Mark on Instagram.
Thanks, man.
Speaking of parodies, there's a real opportunity for someone to parody The Sopranos and it just be a group of 11-year-old kids trying to figure out their vocal range as opposed to a mobster murdering half of New York City. I mean, I can see it right now. It's there for the taking, Mike. I feel like that's right in your hitting zone.
Wait, so in the Sopranos TV show, was their surname Soprano? Is that why it was called the Sopranos?
No. They're like a quartet, and they've all just maintained quite a high voice that allows them to sing in like as sopranos.
No. I believe that's called a castrato. Do you know what a castrato is?
Isn't that when you lose your balls?
Castrato is a vocal range, right? This is not a joke. Oh, a castrato is a vocal register. So historically, this is very like, you know, content warning, but they used to castrate young boys who would grow into men and be able to sing soprano still because they would never basically have any testosterone because they were castrated. And that is called a castrato.
Oh, you have floored me. You have absolutely floored me. I had no idea that was a thing. That's horrific.
This is 100% true. And when I was in the choir, this is not going where you think it's going. When I was in the choir, sometimes when I was in year 12, if we would like pretend to sing the soprano part, the conductor of the choir was like, oh, if you'd like to sing soprano, it can be arranged like as a joke. It's a castrato. But it is real. It is a real, like they don't do it now, but historically.
Classic conductor's threat. If anyone pulls any shit in the back of the choir, it'll be a bloody castrato for the rest of your life. Okay, that is good stuff. You might make a great baritone one day. I love that there was a year 12 who flexed that, who in no way you could follow up. Like 5 years later, he's like finished uni. You're like, hey, mate, I'm a baritone and not a tenor.
What the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell? You lied to me.
And just as another one, and this is, we're so off topic. There was also a year 12. His thing was in total different ballpark. He could just punch the ground very hard. Wherever he was, you'd just be like, punch the ground. And he would just punch the ground. Asphalt, grass, cement, tan bark, wherever you were, you'd tell him to punch the ground, he'd punch it. And not like a soft punch, he would just punch the ground.
It's such an important part of your life to find your identity. And I love this guy. Was like,
his thing was...
ground, bro. Like, someone asked me to, I do it. Like, I don't back down. Like, concrete, tan bark, I don't give a shit. Oh, man, that's beautiful. And for you kids out there, if that's something that you want to align yourself with, that could be you.
Everyone has a talent. You just have to find it. Maybe it's doing podcasts. Maybe it's punching the ground. I don't know.
And he's still punching the ground to this day. He wants me to keep training my voice so I can be part of the Jim Wilkins Choir someday. Okay,
Jim Wilkins Choir has been a recurring thing. Like that Mr. Charger is friends with the Jim Wilkins Choir, who are a choir. That's really all we know at this stage. And
yeah, some sort of inside jokes here for Mike and his choir mates, clearly. Sort of permeated. That probably peaked, this gag peaked in 2007. has quite dissipated, has lost its meaning as a lot of great Shakespearean work has over the years. But you know, that's what happens. Oh, okay. Nobody actually asked you anything, Derek. So I don't know why you felt you had to volunteer that information to us.
That is just like, that's a power move, right?
Yeah, that
someone
is.
Just like, hey, I got a promotion at work. Okay, no one asked you, so why did you feel like you had to volunteer that information?
Also, I love that phrasing. Like, you did not have to volunteer that information. Like, I did not need it. I reject your donation. Arised Michael.
Arised Michael, which is not a word.
I was unfamiliar with that word. Derek looked confused. We're all confused at this point.
This is just chaos.
And I got to say, I'm definitely at fault for derailing a lot of this narrative, and I apologize.
That's what it's all about.
Derek looked confused. Mr. Charger said that the Jim Wilkins Choir is the best choir in the world, and they definitely aren't an evil cult that he's working with to take over the world.
Again, you know, Mr. Charger. Hey, Derek, you've got a great voice. Like, he's like this inspiring teacher who's like the teacher from Billy Elliot. Billy Elliot's teacher wants him to dance. Come on, like, Billy, join the ballet school. We're definitely not an evil cult, and we're not trying to take over the world.
Just got a demi-plié, and then we'll be fine. Here's your AK-47.
To link that back to Harry Potter, that teacher in Billy Elliot is the same actress that is Molly Weasley. So there you go.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah. Loved her, though. I mean, that movie, that'll bring a tear to your eye every time. If you haven't seen it, worth a watch, Billy Elliot. Mr. Charger says Jim Wilkins Choir is definitely the best choir. I also like that Mr. Charger has clearly laid out his plan completely.
Specifically
by... outlining what he isn't doing. It's like Marilyn Manson. come over to my farm. We're definitely not a cult. I'm not going to make you guys murder Sharon Stone. It's all good. We are just, it's peace and love, baby. Michael raised his eyebrows. He wasn't really sure how to answer that. So who's your favorite classical composer?
And that's the end.
And that is the end of the chapter. So there's still a lot. So,
you know, you'd think if you said to me, you Zach say to me, "Hey Mike, come to my place. I'm having a bunch of my more religious friends over, and you know, it's all. They're definitely not a cult, and we're not trying to take over the world." Okay. So, will there be a buffet?
Who's your favorite Batman? Out of curiosity, Christian Bale. He brings a rugged darkness to it. But, Pattinson. I've got high hopes.
Michael has no risk management. Like, he doesn't hear that information and think, "We probably shouldn't do this. We might, after everything we've heard, we might die."
So let's back to the topic at hand. No, I like maybe Michael is trying to deviate, throw Derek off. He doesn't want to give away, because I feel like Michael is sort of dry. And who knew that a book written by Michael Liberale? How do you pronounce your name? Is it? Do you say Liberale? No, you say Liberal.
I usually say Liberale.
Liberale. Yeah, right.
Which is probably, you know, the more Italian way of saying it. Liberale is much more Australians trying to make it sound fancy.
That's exactly where I've fallen. I'm just going to go with Libba. When Libba's written this, Michael does seem to be the character who is sort of pulling some strings here. If I was to interpret this, I would say Michael raised his eyebrows. He is suspicious, but he's not going to say anything. He's just like, change the topic, potentially.
Right. You know what I love as well, Zach, is like, when he says, "So who's your favorite classical composer?" It's, "So who's your favorite?" So it's like, Derek says this, they're not an evil cult. They're not trying to take over the world.
Oh, good.
So who's your favorite classical composer then? That's the tone I read it in.
Not only that, but like at the top of the page, they are trying to walk through the school carefully. And it's like they're trying to be as quiet as possible. And even Michael at this point, it's like, so boys, like best R&B album from 99 to 2005, Usher.
Kelly, there's a bit going on there, but you know, can we separate the art from the artist? A bit like Michael Jackson, you know, you love Thriller, you're not thrilled about Michael Jackson. You love Thriller.
He was right. He was bad, as the song says. You know, he was owning it in the time.
Now he's beat it. But we still like him.
Don't stop till you get enough. Probably should have stopped.
We should have stopped. Sorry. Go ahead, Zach.
No. I'm wondering. You know, that. I mean, this was the start of the journey. Clearly, we haven't come to the end. But as the chapter said, a journey with Derek. I feel like we're coming to the crescendo here. Surely.
Yeah. So four chapters left.
Ooh.
And it's been great to have you back, man. I really appreciate you doing it. I'm trying to think of like how to do the last episode because it'd be cool to get some of the main, you know, the main few guests that have been on, like you and Sammy and Jack and stuff, and maybe do a like the final chapter as a group, but we'll see how we go with that. But yeah,
I'm not sure. Thanks, what's man. Oh yeah, you're welcome. Firstly, it's a pleasure to be on the show. I love Harry Potter and the boys, and I'm excited to see how this epic tale concludes. And we'll brainstorm after. But I mean, you know, I reckon you should be doing a live reading to an audience.
Yeah, I think we do have to do that soon.
The definitely, final chapter. It's on the cards. And then, you know, we do a bit of a Q&A, you know, ask the author, are you better than J.K. Rowling now? Like, yes, I am. But, you know, you've got to credit her for the inspiration. I reckon that'd be fantastic.
And don't forget, there's six more of these.
There's
so we've
six.
Got six.
You wrote seven books.
Yeah, because there's seven of these. This is the first of seven. We will go on to the second one and we'll just keep going for another 5 years or so.
We will be like into our 40s by the time this is done.
Yeah. I have decided I'm not going to have kids because one, I won't have time if I'm doing this podcast. And two, I don't want my kids would be ashamed of this. So I just can't have them. Sorry, ladies.
That's the announcement. The snip.
That's the bombshell for the Daily Mail. Radio Mike admits he won't have kids due to podcast commitments.
is this an elaborate cover up for you to like finally admit that you are in fact a castrato?
Yeah, I'm a castrato. That's why it sounds like my voice hasn't fully broken yet. I still get voice cracks. Yeah, well, I still get those voice cracks. Yeah.
It's my favorite part of hearing you on the Hamish and Andy podcast. Is like there will be a voice crack now and again when you're talking about Pokemon. And I'm like, fight the good fight, brother. Get it out there. You know, actually Venusaur's a toad.
do you have anything to plug? Are you working on anything?
Mate, just love and life and plug, chase your dreams, everyone. Do what you love. Do what makes you happy.
All right, everyone. And one thing I will say just before we end, the YouTube channel for Harry Potter and the Boys, I'll have a link in the description for this. And it's up to date now. So every video is up and this episode will be up on Wednesday with the Zoom video as well. So you can watch this. So please go and subscribe to that. And then, you know, just go to radiomike.com.au to see all my other stuff. Thank you so much, Zach. Goodbye, Homoras. Any final words from you, Zach?
No, mate. Peace and love. Love it. Let's bury this charger. He's going down. And mail boy.
And before we go, who's your favorite classical composer? See you guys. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch. Radiomikepod@gmail.com.